So the subject tonight I want to talk about is growing up. Now, so I just wanted to check in the different cultures and languages we have here. Does everyone know what I mean by growing up in terms of from childhood to adulthood? In German, what would they say? Yeah. So you might think of it in something like what your parents might say to you as a teenager. Grow up. Yeah. Anyone heard this before?
Still.
Yeah, it takes a while, doesn't it? And sort of what we're talking about here. Okay. And Jewish, Israeli, you have something like that too? Your parents say those things?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like that. Yeah. Yeah. So like they're trying to get you to act in a certain way, yeah. And it's a normal part of life, the socialization, you know, it's being socialized into our culture. Of course, there's different levels of trauma that go with it as well, depending on how kindly the message is given. So I just wanted to go through a brief sort of setup in a way to what we're talking about. So there's different stages of life, and I'm just going to talk very briefly about part of that, really, just a very minute part of that. And that is like the first broad stage, you might call, of dependency. Yeah, where as a child, you're dependent on your caregivers, your parents, or whoever was there to look after you. So obviously for everyone that's a bit different, depending, it might be step-parents or other people, depending on what your family was, yeah. But then around the age of like 12-ish, then as we're moving into puberty, adolescence, we start this change in life, huh? The body changes. And all of a sudden, the fun of childhood starts to change a bit. Sometimes there's more schoolwork. Yeah. And a certain seriousness starts to creep into our lives. And so this age, this sort of puberty, adolescence age, it's sort of marked in different cultures as well, yeah, by rites and rituals. It's an important time because we're moving from a time when we're being dependent and then we're moving towards taking responsibility for our lives. Yeah. And there's different things that go with that. So are you with me so far? So in different cultures, there's rites of passage that go with this. And in Australia, I'm involved with some of these rites of passage for fathers and sons or stepfathers, however it works. And I can't really speak to what happens with the women's rite of passage, but with the men's one, with the boys' one, there's a few things that are really important with this. So we're going from a child's way of thinking, which is sort of black and white, yeah. You love me, you don't love me. You didn't give me that chocolate, you don't love me. Yeah. And it's sort of all about me. My needs. And what someone else might need or is concerned about doesn't sort of register so much, yeah? So in these men's ones in particular, we're sort of teaching the boys a few things about life, sort of opening their eyes to a few things, and getting to think a bit broader, you might say. So some of the things we're working with is like a sense of that with, because the growing child moving into adolescence is looking for more freedom. Yeah. You know, that time we want to break away from our parents. But with that freedom comes some sort of responsibility as well. Because it's not all freedom, no responsibility. Any parents here may be familiar with this, of getting this message across, you know, that you can have freedom, but be home by 10 o'clock. Whatever it is. So in a healthy relationship, this is all sort of starting to grow naturally, yeah? That this sense of responsibility. It's a give and take thing, two-way, yeah. So for the boys, we're also teaching them that they have to change their relationship to the feminine. So it's not like I'm being mothered 24/7. Mum's not going to always be there to look after every single one of my needs, mostly. Yeah. So this changing of relationship to the feminine is not that then from dependency to a healthy man psychology where it's more of an even thing, yeah, across the thing. We're not having this man who's looking to be mothered. And in women, I'm not quite sure how that works, but anyone have a sense of how that develops in an unhealthy way? No ideas. Okay. Sorry?
Overprotection. And mother, everyone.
Yep. Okay. So too much responsibility in a way, is one way.
So that women could then become too overprotective.
Yes. Yeah.
For the men, of course, they would then choose a partner who is going to mother them as well.
Yeah.
That's right. So another thing in changing relationship as the man grows up. It's going to be very one-sided tonight, this little part. Is that we're teaching the boys that in a healthy man psychology, you're not ruled by emotions, you stand with your emotions. So ruled by emotions would be actually denying them, so that you don't know them. And then they just run your life in a subconscious way. So we're opening them up to what an emotion is. Simple enough as it sounds, it's very important. And how they might stand with that in relationship. Yeah. And so this process goes on over a few days where we sort of hold this space. Yeah. Just like a growing up process. And at one point, we actually then present this little koan. This is more entertainment, really, than anything else. But we ask the boys, it's a great question. What do women really want? So, hard one, huh? For the men in the room. And we sort of let them sit with that one for a bit. So we'll come back to that, yeah. You can think about that. Does anyone have an answer?
Yes.
There's a number of things, actually.
Make a list. And finally, we present this thing that for men, and this is pretty hard for the teenage boy, that to be humbled every day is a good thing. They really got to understand what that means, actually, to be humbled. To be humbled in the face of life. That really gets them thinking, that one. So, and we keep pushing this thing about responsibility, yeah? Growing up, taking responsibility. Yeah. So, in general though, moving away from men, women, fun, if responsibility, this is a question for all of you, is poorly taught in a way, or not modeled. Because really it's about modeling. Any parent here will know that your children don't listen to you, they watch you. Because they'll be checking, do your words, do they match what you do, what your actions are? So this responsibility is not modeled then. Tell me, what are some of the types of things that might come from that in an adult? If we're not taking responsibility, what's something that might happen? Good question. So you get what the word responsible means, yeah? And taking responsibility for your actions, yeah? Do you understand that, yeah? So, for instance, if you're someone who doesn't take responsibility for your actions, how might that show itself? Is that? Yeah? Sorry, Anna?
Blaming your partner for not making you happy.
Blaming. Yeah. Your partner. Could be anyone. Yeah. So blame in general. Yeah.
Projecting onto other people. Projecting things.
And for people who might know what that means, projecting means. Right, you're seeing anger around you as well, yeah. Yeah. So projecting is where we're feeling something, or you know, or thinking something, and then it goes out onto someone else. So I might be feeling, say, insecure, and then I'm putting it onto someone else, that they're the cause of that. Or I'm feeling angry, as Lynn's saying, and there's anger out there. It's one way of happening. Joyce?
Not being responsible for your kids.
Sorry?
Not being responsible when you have kids, for your kids.
Okay, so not taking responsibility for your children, and how might that happen?
Well, wasn't the question if you're, how would it play out when you're older, if you don't have responsibility when you're younger?
Yeah, sure, but can you give an example of that?
Ex-husband.
Sorry? I missed that.
And my ex-husband, but that was a joke.
Right. And particular behaviors?
No, if you haven't learned responsibility, then you can't test, you can't the reborn body is something that's like the ultimate responsibility of having children.
Yeah. Okay, so if I'm getting this right, so then I'm just wondering, like, I'm not quite sure I'm getting a full example of how that...
I think I got your question wrong. I thought your question was, if you're younger and you don't learn responsibility, how does it play out when you're older? That's what I'm answering. Well, I might have
to... Okay, so one way is that it doesn't mean you don't take responsibility in the way, same way as well. If that's not modeled to you, also you won't do that the same thing. Sure, yeah, I get that.
Yeah. Taking responsibility in that situation is that you would walk out in a relationship without putting the effort in if there are kids there, if there are children involved in that, you know, it's the family.
Yeah.
So many families break up, and of course some of them are inevitable, but so perhaps it's not taking responsibility.
Right.
We're not taking it seriously.
Okay, so is that something like, so there's sort of decisions made in life, but then the follow through with that, the commitment. So something in that ballpark?
I think for most of us, we have children, it's not a decision we make, it just sort of happens through, a little bit of dreaminess.
Yeah.
And reality is, so I don't know whether it's or not following through a decision, but certainly not taking responsibility would be not carrying the risk, not carrying the seriousness, not carrying the significance and the importance of that role, and seeing that you have a choice just to walk out.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's this responsibility of taking care of someone, really, that lifelong commitment, in a way, that's there. Whether you name it or not, follow through, there is a connection.
When you say a responsible person, like somebody that's learned how to be responsible...
I didn't say that.
I'm a little bit confused because it sounds a little bit, you haven't learned responsibility.
Yeah, so I'm opening up as a discussion.
Yeah.
I'm not holding an answer here.
I'm just a little bit confused. If you haven't learned responsibility being taking responsibility for your life, the direction,
whatever it might be.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
So when I'm sort of opening up as a discussion, like what is it to take responsibility, and what is it to not take responsibility, and how do those things show themselves?
I suppose responsibility. You'd somehow respect other people's life somehow.
Yeah.
I almost see somebody that has no sense of responsibility as, potentially become, drunk or, that they didn't have any self-care, for example.
Okay.
I don't know if that's what you mean.
Well, it's more like, what is it for you? Because there'll be... 40 different ideas here.
I mean, in English, it shows really nice what the word is supposed to mean, at least what I feel it means, responsibility, the ability to respond to the situation. So it's as soon as you don't respond, you're not taking responsibility.
That what, sorry?
I said as soon as you don't, if you're not responding in whatever measure, whatever way, you're not taking responsibility.
Yeah.
It only works in English. It doesn't work in English.
Right.
So you're just...
Sorry, there was something. It does. There's a similar word, or...? Yeah.
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 Yeah, kind of.
Okay. So we can see that already, that sort of, there's some... Even getting clear, what does it mean? That's interesting, huh?
Sorry.
Sorry.
When you say, like, when the parent
says something and does a different thing. So I think it's very important to be coherent, which when I would be a parent, to be coherent with what I say and what I do.
Yeah.
So to have this, you say, aligned, like to be what I say and not just talk something and react in a different way.
Yeah.
And the second point was when she said respect, I think. Respect in a positive way is something which I see today, for example. I see very few good examples, especially because you were saying male and boys.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there are a lot of growing up boys who don't have really good respectful examples for their lives, I think. So.
Hmm. All right. I'm not going there, but
no.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's more it's sort of, rather than a sort of condemnation of different things, I'm very careful about that here, this is not what I'm getting at.
No, not condemnation.
Yeah.
Be coherent with
each other. Yeah. So, talking in some ways more about the ownership we take for our lives. You know, like, how much do we really take ownership for our actions? And how much are we then, coming, hold that, how much are we the victim to circumstances? And this is leading to something, no doubt, you can tell that. Vera, did you want to say something?
just a quick bit to me in Portuguese, the word and how it relates to freedom. And
freedom.
I guess there's also a saying in other languages, but in Portuguese you have a saying that the freedom in myself ends where the other person's freedom begins. And in what I learned about responsibility was what I need to take accountability in order to keep my freedom and let other people's freedom be as well.
And let other people's freedom be there too, by you taking accountability.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, sort of a bit like that. Thing we're talking about with parenting, that accountability and freedom, responsibility, go hand in hand. So, just following that theme of when someone's not taking responsibility, just going a little bit further. And do you have in mind anyone that springs to mind? Maybe just keep it to yourself. Someone who you feel doesn't take responsibility for things. And how does that affect you? Stay with that. And I'm thinking here more like someone close, like brothers, sisters, good friends. Housemates is a good one. What's the impact on you? What's that like? Is that like annoying, frustrating, disappointing? Any words come to mind? Hard the voice.
Unfair.
Unfair. Yep. One word, anyone? Angry.
Selfish.
Selfish. Yeah.
Unhappy.
Sorry.
Unhappy.
You're unhappy.
Unhappy.
Yeah. Any others?
Ignorant.
Ignorant? Yeah. Well, it stirs things up a bit, huh? But it's also so good to get a sense of this, like the emotions that it stirs up. It's a sensitive area. Yeah, that when we have a sense of someone wanting to do something and they don't do it, of wanting something to happen and it doesn't happen, it's painful, huh? A lot of thinking happening. Sorry, Evelyn. It could be a mirror for what happens inside of us.
That person is a mirror of something inside of me. A reflection. Of ignorance or
uh-huh.
Because then it's happening for a reason, I guess.
Mm. Right.
It's not.
So for you, it's happening for a reason. Because I'm not saying that at all. But you think sometimes it's happening for a reason.
Yeah. That's my reflection.
Okay.
Isn't it an expectation to have that responsibility? It becomes difficult because we expect, say, it's our roommate or our housemate to pay the electric bill. It doesn't happen.
Yeah.
It's difficult. There's that expectation.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right. That's what I thought. I mean, responsibility, then they responded to life the way they did because that's their choice. That's how they respond. But I think what we're talking about is more unreliability or not keeping up your end of the bargain, which is for me is something different, really. You know, they made a promise and they didn't do that. You know, that's different from responsibility, you know, the ability to respond to a situation. They did that because to the best of their knowledge and to the best of what they could do. But if they didn't keep up their end of the bargain or if they're unreliable, for me, they're two different things, really. And we're using irresponsibility, saying, oh, you're irresponsible. It's always negative, meaning you basically didn't do what I expected you to do, you know, just what you said. You
know. So for you, there's a difference between those two things.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if somebody responds to life, that's how they respond, you know. Like, I can't second guess that, really.
Mm.
So in a way, you think the other person has to betray him or herself to do whatever you want. So can't be right. And what comes in my mind is there something like responsibility?
Is there?
Is there something? Because they do whatever they can do, and what they do is coming from how they learn to do. So, and if they are not conscious enough, they can't do it another way. So how can I tell it's right or wrong? How can I say this is right or this is wrong?
Right.
If it's coming from this part of the person.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain more
yeah.
in another way, because it just happens in a way, and it has nothing to do with the person itself. It's what, how they learned, how they relate to the things, how they learned to do it.
Yeah.
To I don't know how to explain in another way. So it's just, I'm just looking at me. I'm doing things I'm not happy with, in a way. And I can see there's something I'm not taking responsibility for, whatever. But I cannot do it in another way. It is like it is. And how can I be angry about... I try not to be angry about me, because I'm doing this, and then I cannot be angry about another person, which is also doing this from his part or her part. I don't know how many...
Yeah.
Hopefully I'm still...
Okay, so that's sort of, in a way, a bit more of an enlightened view, you might say, was that you're seeing, in a way, that we all have habits and ways of doing things that lead us to behave or respond in a certain way. Would that be fair enough to say that? So if I'm really holding the bigger picture about someone, then I might be aware of that.
Yeah, you know, it's making me bad energy, making me angry with us, because I'm in a resistance against what is. So, yeah, I can choose this, yes, but it's my choice.
Yeah.
I can take responsibility for my anger. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
I think that, like you said, like responsibility for yourself is very different than responsibility for others, because like when your mother says to you, grow up, then she's kind of like rushing. Like, if you're 18, you're supposed to be this and this and this, and if you're not, then like, come on, get there. And like, that's funny. But like, I think that responsibility with yourself is like the recognition that you have choice. You can like be in the inertia, or you can like, yeah, choose.
So the inertia is what, sorry, and for you?
Like the habit.
Okay, so just going along a bit blind and just doing the same thing.
Yeah.
That. Yeah. Automatic. Yeah.
And it doesn't make you feel great, but you just like, kind of keep going.
Yeah. So in a way you're alluding to also like a responsibility to self and to others as well. Sort of? Not that?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I had I have a shamanic teacher who once said something that I found quite mysterious, and I've been thinking about it for a few years. And he basically said, true freedom is responsibility. And at the time he said it, it was sort of in the middle of a workshop, and I thought, did I hear him just say that right?
What did he say?
He said...
did everyone hear that, maybe?
True freedom is responsibility. And I guess the way I've thought about it is that we're all interdependent. And recognition of that is true responsibility, and that inaction is true freedom.
So that we're all independent, you said?
Interdependent.
Oh, dependent. Okay.
There's a coexistence and a co-arising between all of us, existence. And a deep recognition of that, and then that followed through in action, is true freedom.
Hmm. Okay. So how's that? How are you finding that for yourself? Like,
oh, it's really hard. The reality is that, yeah, you piss me off for bloody hell, why did you do that? And, you know, that I meet my world in an unideal way. But when I have the inner spaciousness to kind of contemplate that person that's acting irresponsibly and it's having an impact on my life, I can step back enough to actually recognise my choice and my relationship with that person, however that is. And so then it rests with me, it doesn't rest with them.
Mm. Yeah. That's important, it rests with you,
yeah,
rather than the outside,
yeah, which
thing.
Which is responsible, which is then freeing.
Sorry?
Which is responsible, which is then freeing, because I'm not looking for that person to change their behaviour to make me feel better.
Right.
You know, I secretly might be waiting for an apology, or, as the levels drop.
Yeah, that's always good, isn't it?
but slowly it feels freer, and there's an inner space of the grip of being angry lessens, and it becomes easier and it becomes freer.
Yeah. So we're sort of seeing there's a bit of wisdom here in the room, yeah? With all these answers that are coming. Anything else? Anyone else coming to mind?
Just how it links with trust. So,
yeah,
for those people in our lives who we feel, if they lived in my flat, I would have a really good, strong feeling that they would pay the rent, that they would pay the bills. Because I knew that person, I'd known them for 10 years, and I would have a strong sense of that. That's a feeling of trust. Whereas I wouldn't put someone in a flat who I didn't have that feeling towards. So when someone has quite a strongly developed sense of responsibility, something does relax.
Yeah.
Around them.
Yeah.
Somebody relaxes around them, or somebody you're in friendship with them. You know that when things go wrong, that somehow you're both going to be able to own a bit, and somehow communicate through it. It feeds that feeling of trust, and it also it seems to feed that feeling of inner responsibility as well. Yeah, when we have it modelled outside or in our relationships.
Mm. So it's like trust, feeling secure in a relationship in a way too, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's obviously something that happens it can feel apparent very quickly, but it is something that happens over
Yes,
perhaps so you can feel like that about something very quickly, or even that sense of self-responsibility, it comes with time, maturity and experience,
that
we will respond in a way that has certain qualities in it rather than just some blind response.
Yeah, so it's a growing thing, it's always like almost a continual commitment to it, ongoing commitment to it, as well.
Yeah, and recognizing recognizing what it actually means, I suppose.
Yeah, but it seemed to me important the part you're talking about, how interpersonally, if we have a sense of trust that the other person will follow through with their commitments, and it has an impact, huh? So it helps something to rest, you said. Something goes, I feel okay here. I feel my needs are valued, or my personhood is valued, and looked after.
Well, it's in friendship, in friendships that have existed over a long period of time, it's not that the person will fulfill a commitment, although that could be part of it, it's more like the person is... You can you could somehow trust them that they're, something has continued to value this thing for this long, and chances are that it will probably continue.
Mm.
So that's that kind of feeling of having ease with another.
Great.
But I really like that person, but I'm not sure about
it. No. So, I guess what I'm hearing is a sense of like integrity in someone as well. Would that be right? Integrity being a part of this as well. And
I still feel, for me, that the word should be banished because it's so it carries so much judgment.
Responsibility.
Thing of you're irresponsible means all things to all people. So that, so yeah, I'd like to substitute it for different words. Like,
yeah. Do you have some, please?
Or just say something that is that actually happened. You know, oh, yesterday you didn't show up at 7 o'clock.
Mm.
How irresponsible! It's not really a description of what happened. It just means, you know, it's just kicking someone in the butt, really.
Yeah. So for you,
I mean,
it has a bit of a pejorative,
really
put
does.
Down.
You know, and there are other words that can do the job much better,
uh-huh.
without ruffling feathers or without running the risk of breaking down the communication. You know.
Cool. Do you have some examples?
Yeah, you could just describe what happened. You could just describe what happened. If you say, "Well, I find you're really irresponsible." Whoa, you know. How willing would you be to continue, a conversation with me? Probably if you said, "Oh, you know, it's the second time, you know, Monday you were 15 minutes late, today you're half an hour late." That's
30 seconds late.
Okay. But, you know, maybe it's just, I have this reaction, I think, wow, responsible, irresponsible.
Hmm. Yeah, so that's good, huh? So stirring up some things here.
Yeah.
That but I think you're pointing to something really important there, the use of words, and how they can be used to either build safety and security, integrity in a relationship, or undermine it, the way it's delivered. Yeah. So important, the commitment to kindness and gentleness, regardless of what needs to be said. If I'm, say, a little overtight about this theme, because we talk about overtight and under, sort of too tight and not tight enough, maybe, might be one way of thinking about it. If I'm too tight, then I might have a few judgments when someone is not responsible. Yeah? So then possibly some anger about this, about being let down. So before we've come to a situation, we're creating the conditions for how things might happen.
And this is actually a sort of control, wanting to control something.
Yeah.
In my experience. And
so
I
for you it's control, yeah.
So there's my wounded lady.
Yeah.
Because I know that I'm doing this. But hopefully I can see it. And if someone else doing this, I know that it's a mirror. And I'm more angry about myself than the other person, and I'm protecting this.
Yeah.
Because in this, you know, you can't. I can understand, because I know this feeling, I want to feel safe and secure and so, but you can't, actually you can't, because it's, if you think you can, it's trying to control something, what you cannot control.
Okay, thank you. Joyce, you've been...
Yeah, I have to agree with this appearing, the whole discussion appears to be very kind of judgmental and righteous.
So it feels for you that way, yeah.
It's all in the context. The Buddha and Visuddhadatta, those guys were responsible from some of you. So it's all, it's not so, I mean, it's just easy to sit in a circle and say, this is responsible and this isn't, but it's really in the context of life.
Yeah. So for you, this is feeling judgmental for you, like.
I would disagree with that.
With
or it can, the word can become a, I mean, just so easy to
yeah.
say this is good, this is bad.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, it's important that this, we're talking about this thing of how can become quite charged. Yeah? That's...
I think it depends on what it is. For me, for example, I mean, I'm still there that I say if there's a difference in if someone comes too late or it just didn't do the laundry, or if someone really harms the person, or someone.
So would you want to describe it as irresponsible? I mean, think about it. Is it really that different? Think about it. You know, I don't know, but that would be really interesting to investigate now. Is that really fundamentally different? Using the word responsibility for someone who's 30 minutes late and using the word how could you, how irresponsible for somebody who does something else that is perceived as a lot more dangerous. Is the word irresponsible appropriate in both circumstances? That's what I'm asking. Is that really true?
I don't know
exactly.
All right. Hang on, everyone. I'm just going to say right now, this is a great point right now. We're going to hit the pause button. Right now, everyone pause.
Commercial.
All right. So everyone just check in right now and just notice, what are you feeling? What are you feeling? Check in. What's there right now? Just notice how words can really stir things up, huh? Check this out. From a single word, responsibility, lots of things come. And any unhappiness that can come from this can sort of really escalate quite quickly, huh? No more words. No more words, just feeling. Yeah? Just really sensing. And noting how this part of us is really quite tender. How in the words of the Buddha, this is suffering. This is pain. This is a part of life. And how easily we can pick it up and run with it. So I just want to say that's not exactly where I wanted to go with this talk, just to be very transparent, but... But I think still there's a lot that came from that, of how something can have such a charge. Something that, for different reasons, for all of us, we'll all have sort of slightly different reactions and we'll make different meaning. We have different meanings associated with it according to how we were brought up by our parents, the sort of schooling we had, the culture we were in. When this level of pain, discomfort or whatever is there, you can really know this is suffering.
Can I, just because when I clarified and I said, oh,
I would actually, can...
Yeah, no, it's just because I feel that I, you know, that is pain. I just wanted to clarify, I didn't feel this was pain. I just felt this was
sure. Thanks.
So it feels like...
Yeah.
Did I say something inappropriate?
Not at all.
Okay.
Not for me.
Really not?
Yeah,
because
totally.
You stopped it there and said, this is pain. So I was wondering, why would that be pain?
I was just sensing an escalation.
Okay.
An escalation of this in the room, in general. So that
I didn't feel that I wanted to escalate. I just said, oh, you know, is it really the same if someone is 30 minutes late or... something else happened,
sure.
You know, let's investigate that.
Yeah.
And it didn't feel like that was inappropriate.
Yeah. I'm sorry if it felt like that. But it was actually, there was a lot of other things happening as well. There was a lot of other voices coming in.
Okay.
Who were sort of wanting to get involved in some way. And,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't want to, in any way, want to make you wrong at all.
But it wasn't meant to escalate at all. No, it's just, oh, this is very interesting. It was just getting juicy.
For me too. I think there's so much in this. Huh? So much. But once again, this commitment to kindness and gentleness. This can't overemphasize when these charged subjects come up. That whatever happens, also harm probably is very hard to avoid at some level. But our commitment to repairing relationship is what matters. The commitment to always come back to repair. This was also not part of the original talk about, but I think then there's space for us to make mistakes. Space for us to be human. It's not about a perfect world so much. It's about our commitment to each other. So that was a very quick hour, I've got to say.
Can I say one thing, please? I just want
Could
to
you make it quick?
The fact that you gave space for that to happen and aliveness and
Great, right. Thanks, Jane. So, blessings, everyone, on your journeys. We've now got half an hour to tea. and may your relationships be warm, secure, safe, and full of integrity.